As we come into worship today, let's join with Bruce in singing The River, a song of God's abiding grace and mercy.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For those of you who celebrate such things, happy Valentine's Day. Whether you're regular or new to worship with us, welcome to St. Stephen's Online Church. As we are from a tradition that follows the church year, today we celebrate the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. That is a big word with big import. Diane will help us to unpack that a bit later in the service. It's definitely above my pay grade. At this time, let's light the Christ candle, assured, like the apostles James, John, and Peter, that the appearance of Jesus in all his heavenly radiance is truly the Son of the God Most High. Today, we are celebrating the holy light that illuminated Jesus. We celebrate his transfiguration on the mountain. Light of light, transfusing and transforming light, divine light, flooding out the shadows, light of love, light of delight, light that turns doubters into followers. It is the same God who at the beginning said, "Let there be light," who has shone into our hearts with an understanding of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The mightiest one of all, God the Eternal, speaks and summons the whole earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. From God's holy mountain, God's light, the perfection of beauty, shines out. Friends, let's take a moment to still ourselves before God in preparation to meet Him in worship today. Would you pray the prayer of confession with me? Forgive us, God, when we linger too long by the waters and on the mountaintops, enthralled with the glory that flows from you. When we fail to listen to your voice leading and guiding us, shake us from our contentment and send us forward endowed with your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus admonished Peter and John and James not to tell of what they had experienced up the mountain until after his resurrection. Well, friends, we are free to tell of God's news now, because here it is. He has been resurrected. He is alive, and he has set us free from our sin. Free to know the good news of God's love, free to share that love with our world. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up the mountain where they were alone. And in the presence, he was transfigured. His clothes became blazing white, and with a witness no bleacher on earth could equal. They saw Elijah appear and Moses with him, and there they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter spoke, "Rabbi," he said, "how good is it that they are here? Shall we make three shelters for one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah?" For he did not know what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud appeared, casting its shadow over them. And out of a cloud came a voice. "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." And now suddenly, when they looked around, there was nobody to be seen but Jesus alone with themselves. On the way down from the mountain, he enjoined them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God.
If you are watching this service on video, you will know from the opening of it that we are celebrating Transfiguration Sunday. Today we remember this story of Jesus being visibly changed, transfigured, as we say, while he was up the mountain with Peter and James and John. We come to this story every year on this last Sunday before Lent, and so many of us are well familiar with it. Jesus selects these three men from among his followers, and he takes them off with him up to the top of the mountain where this incredible thing happens. In all three different tellings of this story, in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's and Luke's, the writers try to describe what happened. In each case, though, we are left with this sense that this is just one of those things that words can't capture. In some incredible way, the veil between the earthly realm and the heavenly realm was opened for just a moment. And those who were there got to see Jesus in a way that they had never, ever seen him before, a way that they would never forget. Many of us have experiences of God making himself known to us in a special way, and we carry those experiences with us throughout our lives. I've heard some of your stories, and I love hearing them. Well, I'm sure each of those three men who went up the mountain that day carried this experience with them for the rest of their lives. Now, before I go much further, I need to confess something to you. For some strange reason, my first thought when I come to the story of the Transfiguration is not of what Jesus might have looked like. It's not of what it might have been like to see Moses and Elijah appear and stand and talk with Jesus. It's not even of how Peter must have felt as he awkwardly tried to figure out what to say and do in the midst of such divine drama. No, my first thought when I come to the story of the Transfiguration is of those other nine disciples that were left at the bottom of the mountain, the ones who missed out on that experience of the holy. I find myself wondering what they must have thought as they watched Jesus and the others head off up the trail. And even more, I wonder what they thought when they returned but didn't talk about what had happened. I find it hard to imagine what it must have been like to see Jesus transfigured. It's much easier for me to put myself in the shoes of the people who were at the bottom of the mountain waiting. Well, that's actually what happened for me again this week as I sat with this text and tried to figure out what a helpful point of connection might be for us in it. And honestly, I have to admit, I was frustrated. After all, it's Transfiguration Sunday. And I know full well that we could all use some good news to carry with us as we begin our journey into Lent this year. But there I was, at the bottom of the mountain, feeling as if the glory that they experienced up at the top was a long way from where I am right now. And then, in the midst of my frustration, something hit me. Of course I'm having a hard time connecting with what it would have been like to have seen that glory. Of course I feel stuck at the bottom of the mountain. We are 11 months into a global pandemic, working on our third month of isolating restrictions that are preventing us from doing so much of what brings joy to our lives. I am at the bottom of the mountain right now, and I think I'm probably fairly safe in thinking that I may not be the only one feeling like this. As we come to this story of the Transfiguration this year, I suspect that the glory of any spiritual mountaintop experience, whatever it may be, is feeling like a fairly distant memory for most of us. This year, we do find ourselves looking up at this mountain from a pretty shadowy valley, don't we? Well, I really believe that one of the beautiful things about the love of Christ is that he meets us right where we are. Not where we should be, not even where we wish we were, but right here in the reality of where we are right now. So instead of trying to fake it and preach to you from that mountaintop, today we are going to listen together for the life-giving good news Jesus has for us right here at the bottom of the mountain. This year, from this place, we're going to spend less time focusing on the specifics of what might have happened in the Transfiguration and more time thinking about this story more broadly. Let's look at it within the context of the overall story of Jesus' life, and even of the story of the lives of those disciples, whether it was the ones who went with him up the mountain or the nine that stayed at the bottom. The ones who only heard about what had happened after his death and resurrection. Now, it must have been unspeakably amazing to see Jesus changed, to see him in all of his heavenly glory. And as I have admitted, I have a hard time imagining what that must have been like. But it is important to remember that as life-changing and as wonderful as that experience must have been for the ones who were there, it is bracketed by a lot of other experiences, a lot of other things, many of which are quite hard. Just days before this, Jesus had been trying to get his disciples to understand that he was going to be killed. But they just couldn't hear what he was saying. Even more, they couldn't face the possibility of that happening to him. And not long after he said that, he told them, called them, to be prepared to take up their own crosses and to lay down their lives in service of his mission. Not an easy call to hear. And as the days, weeks, and months passed, they witnessed firsthand the opposition to Jesus growing. Opposition that came from some people who became determined to see him stopped at any cost. When you read the Gospels, you figure out pretty quickly that following Jesus has never, ever been a guarantee of an easy life. Not then, and not now. If it were, Christianity would be a much easier sell. But it's not. And that's really why this story, with all of its glimpses of incredible glory, is so important for us to hold on to. As far away as those glimpses might seem from our bottom of the mountain reality right now. So here we are, about to embark on Lent and facing all of the challenges that it holds, challenges that we know hold the potential of growth for us if we will embrace them. And this year, in addition to those well-known Lenten challenges, we also have the added challenge of getting through these next months until enough of us are vaccinated that life can return to some semblance of normal. So to prepare us for all of that, with great wisdom and kindness, the Holy Spirit has given us this story today, a story to carry with us in these coming weeks. It's a story that holds some precious gifts, gifts that give us both assurance and guidance, two things we all feel like we could use right now. Well, the first gift from this story is quite simple, really. The Transfiguration shows us that Jesus was who he said he was. When Peter and the others saw Jesus' appearance change from the inside out, as Eugene Peterson puts it in his Message translation, they were actually getting a glimpse of the reality of God's heavenly kingdom appearing right there on earth before them. As they saw that happen, they knew. They knew in a way that they hadn't before, that Jesus wasn't just another wise teacher and healer. He truly was the one everyone had been waiting for. He was the Messiah God had promised, the one whose mission it was to bring God's kingdom, a kingdom in which people would be set free to live the lives we long for, the lives God dreams for us at last. That experience up the mountain would have helped those men to hold on to their belief in Jesus and in his mission, a work that they would end up giving the rest of their lives to. And because they were ensured that this story was preserved for all of Jesus' followers to hear in what became the pages of Scripture, we can believe. We can believe that Jesus is God's Son. God's Son who is in the process of establishing that kingdom, of saving us and saving our world, even as we speak. The second gift in this story comes from the words that we heard God speak as that cloud descended on them. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. These simple words have the power to both sustain us and guide us. Of all of the things that God could have said to prepare those disciples for the future, and for their roles in Christ's mission, he chose to say just this: this is my Son, listen to him. That simple instruction would lead them to all they would need to know to face whatever was coming. It seems that that same simple instruction will lead us to all we need to know as well, that Jesus is the Son of God Almighty, and that the one thing we must do as we seek this life we long for is listen to him. So, Jesus was who he said he was, and we need simply to listen to him. Those two things lead quite naturally into the third gift we find in this story for us today, the gift of Christ's continued presence with us. Remember, Jesus didn't disappear with Moses and Elijah in a blaze of light and glory, although he could have, but he didn't. No, he stayed with Peter and John and James, and he went with them back down the mountain to rejoin the others and ultimately to face with them all that would come. And so we know that just as he stayed with them, leading and loving them right up to his death, he's promised to always stay with us, leading and loving us through all that will come, until that glorious day when we finally get to each experience what they did up on the mountain that day. Jesus, in all of his unspeakable heavenly glory, right here with us forever. Amen.
Hello. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. We are your house, O Lord, and the people of your promise. Help us to hold fast our confidence in your saving glory. God of glory, the God of our community, as you once revealed yourself to Moses face to face, so you have shown yourself to the world in the glory of your Son. Help us by your Spirit to know him by faith, to love him with all our heart, and to serve him with all of our being. Help us to hold fast our confidence in your saving glory. God of glory, the God of our community, your disciples once saw Moses and Elijah point to Jesus as the fulfillment of the covenant of Sinai and all the prophets' words. Reveal yourself now to us in your scriptures, that we may behold him whose suffering and death give life to the whole world. Help us to hold fast our confidence in your saving glory. God of glory, the God of our community, you once came to a world lonely and afraid and showed us the face of love and hope. Use us to reflect your glory and grace in our world and to represent you here to those who are alone, those troubled by fears and sins, and those whose hearts are grieved by their own faulty decisions or the harm of others. Help us to hold fast our confidence in your saving glory. God of glory, the God of our community, your Son came to reveal your kingdom through words and works of mercy. Give to the sick your healing and to the suffering your hope. May your saving will and the glory of your steadfast love support all who call upon you in the day of trouble. Help us to hold fast our confidence in your saving glory. God of glory, the God of our community, you once spoke through a cloud to your disciples of old that they might see Jesus by faith even when earthly eyes cannot see. Grant to us this bold and courageous faith that we may see Jesus, trust in him for our salvation, and be ready to receive him when he comes again in clouds of glory. We are your house, O Lord, and the people of your promise. Help us to hold fast our confidence in your saving glory. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, thank you again for your faithful giving to the work of this congregation, work that we trust is God's work in the world. Will you join me now in praying to dedicate these gifts to God's mission? Loving God, may these gifts given gratefully be brought to life through the power and creativity of the Holy Spirit. Multiply and use them to bring the word and touch of Jesus to your people, those gathered in worship now and those throughout the world. In his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Kevin here, your captain, the St. Stephen Stompers main dude. And I really, really want to extend thanks to all that have so far signed up, donated, or likes to our annual Coldest Night of the Year Award event. The awards aren't yet. I'm going to do a slightly different day. I want to say a prayer in regards to the walk. So bear with me. Dear Lord Jesus, walk with us as we walk through the cold and the dark to show the community's concern for those taking shelter in nooks and crannies. Dear Lord Jesus, walk with us as we walk for those whose days are a battle to house and feed their families and whose nights are filled with fear and frustration. Dear Lord Jesus, walk with us as we walk for those driven from home by violence and abuse, walking for those overwhelmed by isolation, guilt, and despair. Dear Lord Jesus, walk with us as we walk humbly realizing that anyone can lose their footing in life and end up losing everything that matters, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Dear Lord Jesus, walk with us as each step we walk helps someone get closer to safety, health, and home. And as a team, those steps add up to raise funds for your local organizations to aid in the cause. In your name, Jesus, amen. You can get more information on how to sign up and the likes in the bulletin that is sent out weekly. And we'll have another written announcement this coming week in regards to the event. Hope to see you there, folks. Amen.
I am delighted to have some good news to share with you all this week. Foster Freed and his family have welcomed a new member. Foster and Sherry welcomed their third grandchild, a lovely, healthy baby boy whose name is August, a couple of weeks ago. And so we wish August and his family all the best, speedy recovery from childbirth, and a good settling in time for their newest member. So congratulations, Freed family. Also want to do a shout out. We have been encouraging people who are watching from afar to let us know that you are. And we got a message this week from one of our number who now lives up north. She moved back up north a while ago, but she's watching on Sundays. So Mimi Elliott, we are delighted to know that you are with us. It's so great to be worshiping with you. And I promise to pass along the message you gave to us, which is this, folks. Mimi lives way up north. And she urges us not to complain about the temperatures here, because up there, it is significantly colder. So, Mimi, great to know that you're with us, and our prayers and blessings go out to you. And finally, as I mentioned last week, Lent will be starting in this coming week, Ash Wednesday. We will be holding an Ash Wednesday service online. It will be recorded in the same way that these are and will be available for you to watch from Wednesday morning on. There will be an imposition of ashes. So if you've read your announcements this week, you'll already know, and maybe already have done this, that we are providing little containers of ashes that you can come and pick up before Wednesday if you want to participate in that service. So read your announcements for the details on when and how to do that. And we hope that you will join us in entering Lent in this intentional way with our Ash Wednesday service. Friends, in this coming week, may you experience the presence of God around you with joy. May the holy cloud comfort you. May the divine voice encourage you. And may the power of the Spirit transform you, transform us, and transform our world. Amen.